Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Time at this point for a couple of minutes with Brian Hoke. Brian is an author, and he has written a book, Bronx Zoom. Not Bronx Zoo. He's added an M to Bronx Zoo. And what this book has to deal with is, of course, the New York Yankees from a year ago. First of all, Brian, thank you very much for giving us a couple of minutes of your time.
Of course, anytime, Schmooze. Pleasure to be on with you.
Well, it's our pleasure as well. I know the book is coming out June 8, and first and foremost, tell us what this book is all about.
Well, this book is the most bizarre season in New York Yankees history, and you know, I had a front row seat to live it. I was down in spring training when everything shut down and the world basically stopped, and this book tracks the New York Yankees. It begins with Gerrit Cole and how the Yankees got to Cole and this dream that Gerrit had to pitch in pinstripes. He obviously grew up a big Yankee fan. We remember the World Series where he hung over the railing down in Arizona, and this went nothing like he would have anticipated. So Gerrit wrote the foreword for this book, which was awesome, and just got to talk to a lot of the players about what the experience of last year was like. For a while, they had no idea if they were even going to play a season. You know, looking back now, it feels like that was all kind of, you know, they got the 60 games in, but that was pretty uncertain for a long time there. The restart of summer camp, the craziness of traveling the country in empty ballparks and playing in a pandemic, the challenges of that. And, you know, there were times where the Yankees were stalled in Philadelphia and didn't know when they were going to play a game. And then they wound up getting on a bus and going to Baltimore. So a lot of wild stuff, culminating, of course, in the American League Division Series where they played the Rays out in San Diego, neutral site ballpark, and just a lot of wild stuff that none of us would have ever thought was possible in 2019. We lived it, but there was a lot going on behind the scenes that we didn't know about. And, you know, the guy shared a lot of that with me for the book. So I think I hope it's a good read. I hope it captured what 2020 was, just kind of through the lens of the Yankees with so much else going on in the world as well.
What was the general attitude or general thinking about the pandemic? Did the Yankees take it seriously? Because there was no baseball, and because of what, you know, your book from 2020, of course, you know, I've always said that if 2020 were to be made into a movie, it would be written by Stephen King and directed by Quentin Tarantino. And with protocols and restrictions and with postponements and cancellation, well, more postponements and, a 60-game season, what was first the attitude about the protocols that were set down when we finally got around to a 60-game season? What did most of the Yankees feel? We know that Frazier would wear a mask out in the field,
right,
and and batting, of course. What about the rest of the team and their thinking about the pandemic? Did they, as a team, take it seriously?
I think what they were most appreciative of actually just having the opportunity to play a season, because if you think back, a lot of these guys were sitting at home in May and June, unsure if the season was even going to restart. A lot of them couldn't find places to work out. They were, looking for universities and high schools where they were able to kind of continue working out. The ones that did go home, some of them did stay down at Steinbrenner Field, but a lot of those facilities were padlocked too. So it was kind of a struggle. And you saw that when the season restarted, guys, Gleyber Torres being most prominent, I think he showed up, and Brian Cashman has been upfront about this and saying he was not in the best shape to restart the season because he couldn't find places to work out. So I think in general, look, nobody loved the all the protocols that they had to go through, but they understood that it was necessary to play that season, and they were just thankful to be back on the field, because there was a long period of time where it did not look like there was going to be Major League Baseball in 2020. I know, now looking back, it kind of seems more, it seems like, well, of course they were going to play, but there was a long period of time where I personally didn't think I was going to walk into Yankee Stadium at any point last year. And so a lot has changed. And I think that obviously they did not reach their ultimate goal, which was to win a World Series. But just being back on the field, I think, was important. And I think it set the tone for getting a regular 162-game season in 2021.
So many of us don't want politics and sports to mix, although it was hard last year to separate the two. The former president made a number of comments about the pandemic in relation to sports, and over his term, I made a number of comments regarding football players with the knee, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Did you find many of the Yankees, and you also cover the Yankees for MajorLeagueBaseball.com, am I correct?
Yes, you are.
Right, okay, and we'll talk about the Yankees of today and some of the woes and laments and ills of the team as we see right now. But did many of the Yankees, as far as you know, as far as the what you could tell us, were they getting involved in the politics of the times? In other words, were they getting into thinking about what was happening outside the ball field, outside, outside Tampa, outside their homes? How many of these Yankees did you feel got into the politics of what 2020 was all about?
Well, I think you couldn't avoid it. No matter which side of the aisle you were on, it was present. I certainly watched more cable news last year than I think I ever have in my life, because it just felt so relevant to what was going on. And, I spoke to Brian Cashman about that during the offseason. He said, of course we were paying attention to it. How could you not? And so, right. It was a discussion going on in the clubhouse, and certainly there were voices on both sides of it. But you saw it later in the year when, Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Hicks were kneeling with the Black Lives Matter movement and the social justice. And, just more, I think, than any year I've covered the Yankees. 2007 was my first year on the Yankee beat. Real life intersected with the Yankees more in 2020 than any previous major league season, because baseball, look, and sports is an escape, right? It's entertainment, and that's what we love about it. But I felt like it just, whether it was President Trump saying he wanted to throw a first pitch at Yankee Stadium, or Dr. Fauci actually throwing the first pitch before the first game in Washington, D.C., and as I mentioned, the social justice and the kneeling and the pandemic and the presidential race was going on in the background. Mm-hmm. I just felt like there was so much there. It kept intersecting with baseball, where we look to sports for this kind of diversion, but much like everything in 2020, I feel like it just connected with us, and it was part of the story, and it you couldn't separate the two.
So many people out of work, so many lives lost. We're talking with Brian Hoke, and his book coming out June 8th will be hitting all the bookstores on June 8th. It's called Bronx Zoom, about the Yankees with what was happening and everything was going on in 2020, and it comes out again June 8th. And now the Yankees, they have really been slumping. Is it a slump to you, Brian, or is it something that you think is just going to carry on for the rest of this season, the Yankees with their hitting woes?
I certainly hope not, because it is something fun to watch. I tell you, you know, I was just talking about entertainment value. Well, I don't think not getting hits with runners in scoring position and not scoring runs is a very good product. So I'm hoping that they will have more in the tank the next 4 months and, you know, probably five going into the postseason. But, you know, it's hard to say that right now because, you know, what we've seen here, that weekend series in Detroit, that can't happen. They can't lose. They can't be swept by the Detroit Tigers. And that was a gimme in their schedule here where they're playing some very tough teams. They played Toronto. Then they went to Detroit. Now they've got Tampa Bay. They obviously lost today 3-1 to Tampa Bay. Now they've got three more in this series. And then you got the Red Sox right after that. So that Detroit series, I thought, was a real gut punch for this team because that was supposed to be their break where they could kind of fatten up and get ready for this big homestand, and now they've really got to go pedal the metal here because, you know, this was the official one-third point of the season, Memorial Day, and they've got 54 in the books, and if you extrapolate that out, what they've done so far, they're an 87-win team, and, you know, that's okay, but that's not going to get it done. That's not going to get them the postseason, and so they really do need to pick it up, and you know, it's been the offense. The one thing that in spring training, we never thought that scoring runs was going to be a problem for this team. There were a lot of questions, validly so, about the starting pitching. And, you know, there was some question, I guess, about the bullpen and the defense, but scoring runs was not supposed to be the issue. And so I did not see this coming, the fact that so many guys in that lineup would be struggling. Right now, it seems like the only guy who's hitting consistently is Aaron Judge, and everybody else is kind of a question mark.
Yes, and or an exclamation point if they're hitting below 200. Let me ask you this, because you certainly, as much as anyone, you're looking in on the Yankees all the time. This is your beat for MLB.com. Is this team capable, as it's constructed right now, is it capable of turning things around and consistently winning? Or do we need major changes with this roster?
I think they need upgrades. I don't think you can just ride with what this roster is right now and take that and say and throw it out there and say, all right, that's going to be good enough to get them in the postseason. I think that most glaringly, the idea that Aaron Hicks is going to lose the entire season, is going to miss the entire season. You know, Brett Gardner was supposed to be an extra piece in that outfield, and, you know, he's 37 going on 38. And I don't see any situation where you can start him in center field the entire rest of the year. And so they don't seem to have the pieces that they want to, you know, they've talked about putting Tyler Wade out there. Wade did start a game. Clint Frazier, I think they're a little reluctant to do that. Esteban Florial has been up and down a couple times here, you know, but clearly there is a reason why they're not keeping him around. They don't think that he's ready to play the entire rest of the season, another 100, 110 games out there. So I would say center field is a major area of concern for this Yankee team. I think first base, they've gotten almost no production there. We don't really know when Luke Voit's going to come back, but it's going to be probably at least a month. So, you know, they've gotten very little production there. And it was never the idea that DJ LeMahieu was going to be your everyday first baseman. The idea was that, you know, you play him mostly at second, sometimes at third, sometimes at first, just to rest guys. But Mike Ford hasn't done much with the bat. And even when he was healthy, Luke Voit wasn't hitting. So, yeah, I think that center field and first base are most glaring, but there are certainly other issues we can talk about there, too.
All right. What are those issues?
The most issue is, I mean, look at the batting averages up and down this lineup. Guys are just not producing to the way they're capable of. And, you know, I was looking at the lineups on the scoreboard today, and just to see those numbers there, a lot of guys on the interstate, a lot of guys hovering around that. And so I don't know if that's an approach thing. I know offense is down around the majors. That's not unique to the Yankees. But when you've got the guys with the resumes that the Yankees have, you know, as I mentioned, Judge is one of the few guys who's really playing to his career capabilities or above that. everybody else has room for improvement there. So I don't think there. It's not like you've got five guys in the lineup are doing it and four aren't. It's really when Aaron Boone's putting these lineups together, it's kind of just cross your fingers and hope that somebody's going to come up with a big hit. You know, the way Miguel Andujar did today, he did power ball out to right field, but you can't really count on that every single day. You have to get more production from somewhere else.
Do you get the impression that this team, generally speaking, wants to hit home runs every time they step into the batter's box when maybe a single, a drive into the gap for two bases might be something that's more needed? Do you get the impression it's either the strikeout or the home run? And what we saw today was a solo home run. We don't even see two-run, three-run home runs anymore from this team.
Yeah, we've heard it a few times where people in this team are trying to hit three-run homers with nobody on base. And so they're trying to make up for lost time. And so I think you are seeing guys getting a little too big with their swings. And that kind of stuff snowballs. It really does. I think that right now it's a frustrated team. They know that they should be doing better. They're frustrated with the fact that they haven't been able to get it together and really play to their capabilities. And, you know, when you've got a team that's red hot across the way here with Tampa Bay, I think they've won 16 out of 17 games right now. They're just on fire and they're doing everything right. You know, they play defense, they situational hitting. You know, the one that was really a backbreaker for this team today, I thought, Jameson Taillon pitched all right. He gave up three runs in five innings, but it was a two-out hit by Randy Arozarena that really I thought was, wow, that's the thing that the Yankees aren't doing right now. They're not coming up with a hit with two outs, and they're just hitting ground balls, and the inning is over. So they got to correct that, and they know that. You know, the hot seat is on the hitting coaches, Marcus Stems and P.J. Pillitteri, and it's on them to figure it out and get these guys back on track.
Now, you mentioned about upgrade with center field, and center fielder is somebody they could certainly use. Gardner is not an everyday outfielder, no matter where you put him, and certainly not in center field. And then you have Torres at shortstop. You have Sanchez on this team. What do you do with them? Would you deal, maybe now a little bit on the early side, would you try to deal? Well, Torres you could probably deal. For a team really looking for a second baseman, that's his natural position. And Sanchez, we wait for the consistency with the long home run to make up for the deficiencies defensively. And we saw on Sunday the base running, not very good either. And the Yankees have made so many outs on the bases. I think they've not only hit into double plays, 52 of those, I think, is the number leading the major leagues, and also they just are making bad base-running outs all the time. And again, we saw from the eighth inning on Sunday with Sanchez. What do you do with Torres, and what do you do with Sanchez? Do you hold on to these two, even though one is certainly hitting better than the other? But we saw another error today from Torres, and we certainly know defensively that Sanchez is not getting the job done, more playing time for Higgy. What do you do with those two players, if anything?
You're asking me to put on my Brian Cashman hat and step into the GM booth, which is, I think, above my pay grade. But I in my opinion, I don't move either of those guys right now. I think that I don't do a knee-jerk based upon what the first 2 months of the season are in those cases, because you don't have guys who are ready to step in behind them unless you're going to trade for, you know, let's say a Trevor Story. I know that name's been mentioned, but he's also injured right now too out in Colorado. So, you know, I think that Gleyber Torres, I believe in the talent. I believe in the ceiling. We didn't see it last year, really. And we haven't seen much of it this year, but I can't forget what 2019 looked like when he was just crushing the Baltimore Orioles and, you know, torturing Gary Thorne, and he hit 38 home runs and looked like a perennial all-star. So I believe that's still in there. I do think that he's too young to give up on. As far as Gary Sanchez goes, you know, you don't have anybody ready to step in either. They tried Kyle Higashioka for a little bit, and I think that that came back down to earth and revealed itself to be that Higgy is a very good major league backup, and there's a reason that he's in that role. He's very good in that role, and he can catch Gerrit Cole and you know, Corey Kluber if he comes back. But I think that you're going to need Gary Sanchez to produce if you're on this Yankee team. And I think that, you know, that's probably more of a question for the offseason, because I know that was a very real discussion for the Yankees last year, whether they should non-tender Gary. And there were people in the front office who went to bat for it and said, give this guy a chance. You know, we believe in the underlying numbers and everything. And so he wound up getting $6 million. But is he going to get another pay raise next year based off this year? Well, I guess that remains to be seen. But, you know, if I had to bet on one of those guys not being part of next year's team, I guess I would say Gary is more likely to not be a Yankee next year than Glaber.
Okay. You mentioned Cashman. Do you think he should be on the hot seat?
Well, you know, I get this question all the time, and, you know, my answer is always that really is up to Hal Steinbrenner, and I think I don't get the sense that ownership is hungry to make any kind of move there. I think that they're willing to see this out. That's probably something that, and I get the question a lot about Aaron Boone, too, whose contract is up after this year. If you look over Cashman's track record, he's never fired a manager or a coach in season. It's just not something that they do. Now, does that mean they'll never do it? I don't know, but I know that based upon the history, and we've got a long one with Brian Cashman going back to 1998 now, it just hasn't happened. So I don't think that, you know, Cashman's not going to be a GM for life, I think, but the fact that he's been there since 1998, I think he has earned the right to basically say when he's going to step aside. And really what it comes down to is Hal Steinbrenner and ownership have shown no interest in making a change there, so as far as we know. And so I would expect that it's going to be status quo at least until the end of this year.
All right. And what do you expect we're going to see? Now, again, looking into your crystal ball, 4 months to go, do you see the Yankees turning things around offensively with the upgrade or two that you were alluding to, whether they can find a center fielder, maybe they find somebody that is a little bit more with balance for this right-handed lineup, a lineup that hasn't been known to strike out an awful lot and also hit an awful lot of home runs. And we're not seeing the home runs. We're not seeing the runs being scored. We don't see the situational hitting, but we certainly see the strikeouts. And I would imagine, Brian, and we're talking with Brian Hoke, who's got a book out called Bronx Zoom about the Yankees and all of the stories that took place with them a year ago in 2020 when the pandemic shut down Major League Baseball. And the book is coming out to all the bookstores June number 8. Brian, do you think this team, as it is composed right now, without any upgrade, if they don't find themselves a center fielder, if they don't find themselves somebody with some speed or could maybe add a little bit of balance to the Yankee lineup, if none of those kinds of upgrades that you were alluding to take place, can this team turn it around, get to those 87 wins they are on pace to do as we speak right now, and get themselves into serious October baseball?
Well, you know what's funny, Smooze, as you were just asking me that, I was thinking, you know who they could use right now? A guy like Mike Tauchman. If they hadn't traded away Mike Tauchman, he'd be getting a ton of playing time. And I'm not saying Tauchman is an all-star or the answer to everything, but he, you know, a left-handed bat, he could play some center field for them. So maybe it's just finding a guy like that as a stopgap for a little while could help get them back on track. I think getting a healthy Luke Voit back would be big for this team. That's a guy who led the majors in home runs last year. I mean, let's not discount that. And he's a big presence in the clubhouse as well. You know, taking this roster that I'm looking at here on May 31, I don't see that being a playoff caliber roster. It's got to be something better than that. And I don't think 87 wins is going to get it there. So they've got to get up above 90 and really make a run at Tampa Bay and Boston in this division. But I guess the good news for the Yankees is that the season is only a third over. They've still got 66% of the way to go here, and there is time to make up that ground. But I know that just it wasn't too long ago that they were sweeping the White Sox, and they looked unstoppable, and they threw they turned a triple play, and Kluber threw a no-hitter, and we were all singing their praises. And I think we're catching them in a really, really rough time to watch this Yankee team right now. I think the truth is probably somewhere in the middle, but they're going to have to be a lot better than 87 wins, I think, to get into October and to pursue that World Series title that they've been waiting on since 2009.
Brian, do you think they regret, do you think Cashman regrets going after Stanton?
If he had Doc Brown's DeLorean sitting outside Yankee Stadium right now, do they go back and not make that trade? I think that's possible. I do. I think that that was kind of a situation where it was almost too good to be true for the Yankees. You know, Derek Jeter and the Marlins were looking to dump that for pennies on the dollar. And, Stanton was the reigning National League MVP. It was coming off a monster year, and it was so attractive, the idea of Aaron Judge had just been Rookie of the Year, and imagine having two Aaron Judges in the same lineup. That was probably too good to turn down, but I guess only Cashman can answer that question, and maybe we can get some truth serum there. But yeah, if he could do 88 miles an hour down River Avenue, which I would not recommend, by the way, maybe he does go back in time and change that one.
Brian, I can't thank you enough. The book is called Bronx Zoom, about the Yankees from 2020 and what was going on with the pandemic and no baseball and the stories and the insight coming from Brian Hoke, who also covers the Yankees for MLB.com. Brian, thank you so much for the half hour. Good luck with the book. And again, maybe we'll speak again down the road. Thanks very much for your time.
You got it, Shrews. Anytime. Thank you so much.
You bet. Brian Hoke.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.